Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. I'm your host, Blake Monroe. I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Obviously, get your questions in. We got a big show today. Vic Schaefer joins us here in about 20-25 minutes, somewhere in there. So we'll be
hot and brush fire in August in here.
And obviously a lot to talk about, guys. We'll start with the team back on the practice field today. Sark has the press conference at 11. We're getting closer to that spring game. I mean, it's winded down quickly.
I got to say this. I'm checking in from the motherland. I'm in Austin, Texas, and I am drinking Cafe Bustelo this morning. So somebody had mentioned that on the chat at one point, and I tried it. And so I got it at HEB last night on the way in. Cheers, everyone.
I just saw somebody check in from LaPorte, and he put home of the 40-0 state champions of basketball in 87. That was awesome. One of the best teams in Texas nobody talks about. That was a really, really good high school basketball attack. Somebody's asking about Jacoby Matthews in the portal out of the gate. He's expected to go into portal from A&M. I don't think Texas will have interest there.
Texas can't have interest, by the way. This is a good,
that's a good topic.
Yeah, right, Jerry? So long story short, Texas cannot have interest. It was reported yesterday by a guy, Chris Hummer, former writer for the Daily Texan, the student newspaper at the University of Texas. Chris reports that no Texas player can go transfer to another SEC school and be immediately eligible. However, the reverse is also true. No SEC player can transfer to Texas and be immediately eligible. The only way that works or will work going forward in the future is if they transfer in that December, January, winter timeframe. So that's why Isaiah Bond, Amari Nia Black, Kendrick Blackshear are immediately eligible. Any of these guys leaving Texas can't go to an SEC school and vice versa. So Jacoby Matthews can't go to LSU and play immediately.
By the way, that's as an undergraduate, right?
Yes. A grad transfer is totally different, is my understanding. Now, I don't know if it's different even because I think the transfer portal may cover grad transfers as well. So that's a good delineation to find out the answer to, Jerry, or a distinction is a better term. Sark goes to the mic today at 11 after the practice number 13. Right now, I am told there are a couple of injuries on the team to be aware of. There's been one or two concussions, actually, a concussion that helped that kept somebody out for a little bit on Saturday. Kept them out, and they're trying to work through it. Not going to release that name, but it's not a player that is on the first team. I'll put it that way as of right now. So other than that, the team remains relatively healthy, Jerry, and we are on the lookout for the portal today. Portal opened at 12:01 last night. Texas already had three guys go in it. Two yesterday announced: Peyton Kirkland, an offensive lineman out of Orlando, and Billy Walton, defensive end edge prospect out of South Oak Cliff. Now, Kirkland was not surprising to anybody in the building. He had numerous injuries, was not necessarily the hardest worker at times, so it didn't surprise many people. Billy Walton's a little bit different story. He actually had an opportunity to play a little bit this year. He's going to be seen as depth. At the same time, I think that Colin Simmons and Trey Moore and their additions precipitated that move for Billy Walton.
Yeah, exactly. I think Billy Walton just got a good, like I said, there's going to be some really good players transfer out of Texas that go on and have really good careers elsewhere. That's just going to happen. That's going to be part of the game. I said it on TexasFootball.com this morning. That's recruiting three back-to-back-to-back top five classes in a row and being the blue blood in the portal. Trey Moore and Colin Simmons coming in the same class at your position, one out of the portal, a multi-year starter, and one of the top two or three edge prospects in the country coming in the program at the same time. That makes it a little tougher to break through on that depth chart in the spring. So Texas is going to lose some really talented players at various positions. They're going to go on and be really good players elsewhere because Texas has done a good job evaluating. And that's just what's going to happen at a place like Texas, as many high-end kids as they're recruiting from high school and getting transfers from the portal. That's just going to be the name of the game moving forward. So It's part of it, and that's why you recruit these top five classes back to back to back.
No doubt about it, guys. And Bobby, before we move on and get into some more things, can you tell folks out there about Texas electricity ratings?
Absolutely. Texas is an interesting state. It's all about the power of the people, deregulated electricity. For those of y'all still living in Texas and in the major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that allows you to compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity that fits your needs. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So go to TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs. Summertime coming up, guys. Yeah, you want to have this right before you get the big bill in June, July, and August.
All right, y'all. Well, let's see here. We'll get to your, we got some portal questions coming, and we'll get to those here in just a moment. But one thing that I wanted to bring up, ESPN had a mock draft show last night. Jerry, I know you tuned into it, got to watch a little bit of it, but they have six Texas players in the first three rounds, including three in the first round. And I'm going to bring up the list here for everybody to see, but what's y'all's thoughts on this? You're muted,
Jerry. You're muted, buddy.
The big news is Tavondre Sweat is not in there, and that is a move down. I mean, that is consideration, obviously, for what happened a week ago, a couple weeks ago, for Tavondre Sweat. So he and you know, look, this was a show on ESPN. This was Mel Kiper and Field Yates with a host going back and forth on this stuff. They had even picks, odd picks. And Tavondre Sweat, in their mind, is dropped because of the DUI and whatnot, and being rear-ended from behind in the subsequent DUI. So he's dropped out, according to those guys. So six players in the top 100 picks, essentially the first three rounds there. Three in the first round. Then Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys, which will make Dallas fans very happy. Christian Jones, the mover, Bobby, in the draft for Texas. Of all the players in the draft, Christian Jones has made the biggest move up from end of season to a week, 9 days out from draft time right now. But again, how far will Tavondre Sweat actually fall on draft day? We shall see.
Hey, hat tip to Christian Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, right, guys, that's what you want, is somebody like that is able to do that. I will say this, my take on it is largely that there's two things here. Three in the first round, the development of Christian Jones by Kyle Flood, and then Jonathan Brooks in the second round to the Cowboys. I've been told that the Cowboys are really high on Jonathan Brooks, and that goes back dating 2 months ago. And so Jonathan, good luck to you as well. Hard to believe he might be the first running back off the board. For the second consecutive year, Texas might have the first running back off the board. Tashard Choice, Kyle Flood, those guys have a lot to be proud about this draft cycle, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, look, we've talked about all year where the Texas program, since the Alabama game, where the Texas program's headed under Steve Sarkisian, right, since the win over Alabama. And we said it, and I know I sound like a broken record, but there's a lead up to this is, you beat Alabama by 10, right? The biggest loss, the worst loss for Nick Saban in his years at Alabama. But then you go on and you win the Big 12 championship and you go to the college football playoff. So a lot of stars aligned in year three for Sark. That obviously helps on the recruiting front. But then with the move to the SEC, then with the NFL draft to come, Texas is about to blow out social media 9 days from today. I mean, they're going to blow it out. Xavier Worthy blew it out, the combine, right? A.D. Mitchell, all the performances of guys. But the draft night is kind of that final piece for Steve Sarkisian and this staff on as far as recruiting goes. Because they're about to have, let's just say there's six guys drafted in the first three rounds, 9 or 10 guys drafted overall. Then the next day, the 25 way too early mock drafts come out, and there's going to be two or three Longhorns in the first round again. this is where it all kind of creates a tidal wave in recruiting. And some of the things that we're seeing in recruiting for Texas right now is, you know, look, when you win at Alabama, you make the college football playoff, guys win awards, by the way. And now guys, you're going to have 9 or 10 guys drafted. You're going to have multiple first round draft picks. Another key thing, the key thing with this class too, for me, of draftees for Texas in recruiting is, you know, Xavier Worthy was originally a Michigan sign. He got that letter, came to Texas, had great success. Not that he went to Michigan, but he had great success. A.D. Mitchell is part of 2 national championship teams at Georgia. He was hurt his sophomore year. He comes to Texas. He has a great year on the field. So you look at a couple, Byron Murphy, one-time Baylor commit, former staff, flipped him to Texas. A high 3-star, low 4-star guy, but not considered one of the top D linemen in the country. Same with Tavondre Sweat, right? JT Sanders, a player development here. Now, he's got to physically continue to develop, but as a player, as a tight end, he was an outside receiver and an edge player. We had Coach De La Torre from Denton Ryan on a couple weeks ago talking about that. That's player development under Jeff Banks. So this class is kind of a culmination of everything that Sark talks about in the program, is that player development. And you had some guys that were originally going other places that came to Texas and had great success. So those are all great things in recruiting. So tip of the cap to the staff. And by the way, I know we're going to hit on some recruiting stuff, but Jackson Christian from Port Neches Groves, the 4-star on Texas football, 4-star offensive lineman, he is on campus right now going through team position meetings.
Awesome. That's awesome news, Jerry. And this is a guy that was just in Austin 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, I guess, Saturday. So Longhorns looking good for the young man out of Port Neches Groves. Guys, I had another question for you. Let's talk a little bit about basketball. Dylan Mitchell enters the transfer portal yesterday. Jerry, what did you think about that?
Well, and Tyrese Hunter.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, both those guys. And look, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here. It's just realities. I think Texas got a little better yesterday at guard, point guard position. You know, Tyrese is a guy that struggled with ball in hand. Really kind of affected how Texas could play this year. They put the ball in Max A. Smith's hands, I think, a little bit more than they ideally wanted to. If you go back and watch the UConn game, some things Texas was doing early in the season offensively and how that had to change. But I think Julian Larry, who committed from Indiana State, is a better team runner, ball in hand player than Tyrese Hunter was. So I think Texas has improved there. Dylan Mitchell, you know, look, he's a guy that's got to, he's got to develop offensively, but we've always said that's going to come when he's 24 years old down the line. Right. So I think he's CAA agency guy. He'll get placed very well in the portal, but I do think Texas, they struggled with the big lineup last year. That lineup, when you had Dylan Mitchell, Brock Cunningham on the court with a Caden Shedrick while Disu was out. And then with Hunter and Asmus, that was a struggle for Texas spacing the floor offensively. Really good defensive. That was a good defensive unit for them before Kendall Weaver kind of got his feet wet at the Power 5 level and found his, carved his role. But they struggled offensively with that big lineup last year. They've done some things early in the portal with Jason Kent from Indiana State, Julian Larry at point guard, to where I think they could play a more effective big lineup next year. And I do think they're going to be better at team runner with Julian Larry versus a Tyrese Hunter, who they had to move off the ball. That's just the reality of what happened last year. So I think Texas has upgraded that a couple of positions early on in the portal. We'll have to see how everything else transpires. There's going to be 8-9 new faces on this team. It's going to be a big turnover. So you got to see how things come together.
Hey, Jerry, we're getting a couple of basketball-related questions here we'll go ahead and hit on, and then we'll switch gears after that. But Champ Bailey says, what are the guys you are looking at in the portal for our front court? Are there any names out there besides the 3 that committed the other day?
Well, Brandon Garrison is a top guy, right? I mean, he was Oklahoma State transfer. Texas finished 2nd or 3rd on that recruitment. I think a lot of people think he's going to stay in state and go to Oklahoma. Scheduled to be at Texas April 20th. We'll see about that. You got to get him on campus. You can get on campus. Anything can happen. But I think he's the big wall up, long arm, 6'10 and a half, 240 pound post defender that can handle athleticism and handle strength. He can rebound outside his area, which I think is big. The SEC is an athletic league. I'm not saying it's as good of a basketball league as the Big 12, but the SEC is a long limb athletic league. You have to be able to rebound out of area, and you have to be able to move your feet and help defensively in that league. And that's what Brandon Garrison is. Not a great offensive player. Doesn't really have a go-to move. Doesn't have an offensive game that you would lean on, so to speak. But he would be a really good player in the SEC, in my opinion, as a big. Because he's got the strength, he's got the movement, lateral movement skills, and he can go rebound out of area. So we'll see what happens there. There'll be a couple other guys that pop up, but we'll see what Texas does there. But that's really going to be key here. That's really going to be key here to building out the roster.
And then one other one from James Lee. He says, Jerry, do you think with losing three of the four high school signees before they ever stepped on campus changed the way that Ronnie Terry and his staff change the recruiting philosophy for high school kids?
I hope not, because that's not, to me, that's not the long-term success. You have to have a good mix. You have to have a mix of high school recruiting and development of two-year players, three-year players, with occasional one-and-done guy, and then mix the portal in around it. I think if you look around college basketball, what you aspire to be, and it's hard, there's got to be a mix. There's still got to be that high school part of the equation with player development. And everybody looks at Danny Hurley at UConn, right? Because he's won the last two national championships. But this is what I always say. He's done the best job of roster construction of anybody in recent years in college basketball, because he had one one-and-done guy, Stephon Castle. But Klingon, Jordan Hawkins, those were two-year guys. They weren't ranked top 20 in the country. Then he mixed and matched out of the portal. He evaluated really well, developed some of those guys. But that's kind of what I look at in college basketball, is what you aspire to be. I think if you just go all in and you're heavy portal year in, year out, I'm not sure that's going to be the consistency in college basketball you actually need moving forward. I think there's got to be a mix of both.
All right, guys. Well, as I said, we have Texas women's basketball head coach Vic Schaefer joining us here in just a couple of minutes.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
He makes you excited. He's one of those coaches that gets you pumped, man. He is. I mean, there are certain coaches that are kind of sublime or subtle. Vic Schaefer's, he gets you pumped.
No doubt about that. Well, one question that we're getting a lot, guys, that I want y'all to go ahead and answer to the best of your abilities, is the weather in Austin on Saturday is not supposed to be the best. So a lot of people are asking about the spring game, if the weather could possibly cancel it. Bobby or Jerry, has that ever happened? Not that I can remember, but has that ever happened? And I'm going to bring the weather up here. As you can see on Saturday, there's a pretty good chance of rain, especially starting about 2, maybe 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's really a couple of days.
I've never heard of it canceled. Now, I've heard of them playing less time. I've heard them, not being full contact because of weather concerns, but never just all outright canceling it. It could happen, and they would just have another. What would actually happen, guys? They wouldn't forego and just stop practice at that point. They might cancel practice for that day and then come back another day and have it. So people, we got to realize that. But if they can go, they're going to go, because guess what? On fall Saturdays, if it's raining, they're still going to play that football game. And I think Steve Sarkisian feels that way too, probably.
Okay. Well,
it may hurt. It may hurt attendance though, obviously.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people want to get out there and get wet every day.
Well, Jerry, I want you to get into recruiting, but I know you're going to do a little bit deeper of a dive into it. So we'll wait on. Push that back for a minute. We'll take a couple of questions until Coach Schaefer is ready, and then we'll circle back around to recruiting. But let's just go ahead and start here at the top. Antoine, any intel on 26 wide receiver Henry Harris from San Marcos, who was on campus last week?
Yeah, I've actually seen Henry Harris in person. I went to San Marcos this year a couple of times to see Ori Williams, the offensive tackle that signed with LSU. But San Marcos has about four power five, power four or five, whatever many powers there are left, Division I prospects in that 26 class. Now, because they got a BS bunk UIL ruling, those kids have had to play JV football. And so they're really talented guys this spring. And some of them already have offers. They have a linebacker kid that's really, really good in that class. Really good. They have a quarterback, receiver, another linebacker, and DB. They have some in a OLDL whose dad was a top 100 player in the country coming out of high school at San Marcos years ago. They have some talent down there, but they all have to play. A lot of those guys have to play JV. So their offers are behind where other 26 guys are. But this spring, the spring evaluation period is going to be big for those guys. But the Texas, Texas A&M's, Oklahoma State's, all those schools have had these kids on campus. They know they're really good prospects. They just don't have the varsity huddle tape. They don't have the varsity tape right now. But Henry Harris is a very talented prospect. And I'm telling you, the linebacker over there, he can, if he had already been playing varsity football, he'd probably be on a couple of national 100 lists right now. So I think those guys are – you want to talk about – a day and age where there's not many guys who really ascend out of nowhere. These kids are, just because they haven't played varsity football. So next year you're going to see two, three guys at San Marcos really vault up the state rankings and national rankings. And it's just because they haven't played varsity ball. And once the varsity tape gets out and they put it on the board and they strike up the band a few times, they're going to end up on the list.
And then our next question, actually, before we get to our next question, Bobby, why don't you tell folks out there about Factor?
Yeah, absolutely. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Peel back the film, and you're straight to the microwave. 2 minutes long, absolutely delicious chicken dishes. They also have gourmet meals, whether it's filet mignon, shrimp, broccolini, things like that. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. One of the things I love about them, I mention the chicken on here all the time. Literally, it is tremendous and really healthy when you work at home like I do. It's a good lunchtime meal for me as well as my wife. Look, go to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active. Great thing about Factor, they allow you to basically pause your membership. You can do as few as 6 meals a week, as many as 18, I think. I just love them. I love their meal plan. I've been on it now almost a year. Tremendous stuff from Factor.com.
Hey, Racer X, best San Marcos recruit prospect since Earl Anderson. Earl Anderson's son is one of those guys I was talking about. Earl Anderson on the coaching staff at San Marcos. Bobby, I know you remember Earl Anderson. That guy, big guy, could move in high school.
Well, I was thinking back. I used to go to the Texas State basketball tournament. Y'all were talking about the LaPorte 40-0 team.
Yeah.
I think his name it was either Jess McCorvery or Willie McCorvery. I know Willie McCovey, but he was the point guard, I think, on that LaPorte team. And I saw them in the state championship against the Cash Brothers in the state final, the Cash Brothers, San Antonio Holmes. They also had a point guard named Adrian Wright. But that was probably their toughest game of the year, in my opinion. The Cash Brothers gave LaPorte some problems on the interior, but LaPorte was just so, so good, Jerry. Yes. They deserve that 40-0 record. That's, man, that takes me back. That's got to be 35 years ago.
Hey, look, a 40-0 team, kind of like the Plano East team that won state this year, not to dive too deep in this, but that's one of the rare teams that doesn't have a bunch of high major talent necessarily that had a great, legitimately great high school team. By the way, Colton said, congratulations in order for Caitlin Clark. She's set to make $76,000. Yeah, that'll be her WNBA salary, but let's be clear. She made 3.2 in NIL this year and will do more than that. She's going to have her own shoe with Nike. She's got Gatorade. She'll make $5 million this year. Easy.
Gotcha. Hey, let me ask y'all this.
That's funny. That is the salaries.
Let me ask y'all this, if you don't mind. Talking about the portal and the transfer portal. Texas has had two guys enter this year. Three guys now. Peyton Kirkland, Billy Walton,
yeah,
and then also Samaje Burrell. My number remains 6 to 8 in this attrition phase of guys that are likely to move on. There are a list of names that we're all watching. Jerry, you know that. Do you think is your number? What is your number? You said, I think, 8 to 10 yesterday. Was that what you said? Because I'm still at 6 to 8 because I'm sitting here looking 3 to 5 more looks right to me. But you're saying 5 to 7 more. I'm kind of having a hard time because I talked to somebody about this last night. And Texas has a lot of players they want to keep that might want to move on. We'll see. It's just I have a hard time coming up with 8 to 10 and getting that 10 number right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think, look, when you recruit at this level that Texas is and you have and your blue blood in the portal, that just going to create – you can actually move down a depth chart in the spring from where you were. I mean, that's the reality for some guys. You're looking at it after the season. Okay, I think I'm going to be number – I'm going to be third here. If I have a really good spring, I can move up the second. Oops, they just recruited two guys. I mean, so, like, it's a tough place to be. I remain 8 to 10 is my number without throwing the names out there. I just think, look, that's where Texas is at. They have so much – and I've said for a while that eventually Kyle Flood's going to lose one or two of his children. I mean, they're not all going to stay forever there. There's too much talent, too much depth. And so I just think there's going to be a little attrition at that spot. And that's going to be natural. I mean, when you recruit as many as you do on an offensive line or a defensive line, and you have portal, which you haven't used on offense, you are going to use on the defensive line though. I think 8 to 10 is going to continue to be my number.
Okay. What do we know about Bill Norton, defensive lineman out of Arizona? Isaiah Rakes, defensive lineman out of USC. What are the latest we've heard on those guys? Because both have said they're going into the portal. Both Texas might have some interest in. Obviously, Norton played for Johnny Nansen at Arizona. Jerry, what's the latest we're hearing on the portal for Texas on the incoming side of
Yeah. Bill Norton, obviously a name to know there out of Arizona, played 170 snaps in the A-gaps last year for Arizona. That fits a need. For Texas, 6'5 and a quarter, 325. Went to Christian Brothers High School, was a 4-star prospect, signed with Georgia as a D-line or O-line guy, but wanted to play D-line, stuck at D-line, transferred to Arizona last year, obviously played the most he has as a college player. There you see 32 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, a couple forced fumbles. He's not going to be a wow player. He's not going to be the guy that's making all the plays, but what he does as a player that's so important is he takes up space in the A gaps. I mean, he's a big body guy. While he would have value to me, he has a lot of SEC experience, not necessarily playing experience in SEC games, but that guy lined up and practiced against the Georgia offensive line for 4 seasons. He'd be a 6-year player. Obviously one of those was injuries at Georgia, but he's practiced a lot against large humans in the SEC, right? He has a understanding and feel and experience against those guys. So he's a bit. He's played a lot of snaps in the A gap. He would serve a really good role that Texas needs, that adult, experienced A gap player in the room. So I could see that for Texas. Isaiah Rakes, I was told he already knows where he's going. A lot of people think that'll be Syracuse. He's from that area. Obviously, Robinson, the former D-line coach at A&M, is at Syracuse now because there were a lot of people that thought he might end up there when he initially hit the portal. Then he went out to USC. So we'll see if Syracuse isn't where he ends up.
Also, a defensive lineman from UCLA, we're waiting to see if he goes in the portal. Michigan has its spring game on Saturday, Jerry and Blake. Obviously, they have a pair of defensive tackles. I'm not sure that all of whom Texas is recruiting or will recruit at the defensive tackle position are in the portal.
And I think that's something important to know, as I think everybody kind of has the thought is, oh, this is going to be the crazy day today, Tuesday 16th. And I lean more to 21st, 22nd after a lot of these April 20th spring games. Now, Also, this is also part of the process. You put your name in the portal and it doesn't appear for 48 hours. So somebody could conceivably go in the portal on April 19th, knowing their spring game's on the 20th, but it not appear till the 21st. Or they could put their name in on the 21st, right after the spring game on the 20th, but it's not going to appear until the 23rd. So there is that 48-hour window. And then the other thing with the portal for me that's so big is you can check the no contact box, Tech. You can check that box. And if you do that, you're telling colleges, I already know where I'm going. Don't bother contacting me. So I say if somebody that we can hear a lot about with Texas checks the no contact box, game on. If they don't, I say negotiations on, because you clearly don't know. You clearly aren't stating 100% you know where you're going. So,
or they could be down to two or three schools.
Correct.
And they know which two or three schools they want to talk to. And it doesn't necessarily, it's definitely that school. It could be two or three schools. But to Jerry's point, is it's very finite at that point. Hey, Jerry, right. this is a good portal question to follow up on, because we just talked about attrition. This from High Griffith 15. Or H. Griffith 15, does the portal transfer of Billy Walton affect Texas recruiting in a negative way at South Oak Cliff?
No, I don't think it does at all. I mean, look, Manny Muhammad is a starter at Texas. He is.
And a star.
Potential star. Could be a team leader, could be a captain at the University of Texas. I don't think it does. I mean, look, these guys all understand the recruiting process nowadays. And people that look, these coaches, they've had 50 Division I players. The D coordinator over at Dallas South Oak Cliff used to be on the college level. He was a grad assistant at A&M, then coached in the SEC a couple of years, then got into high school football, the DC there, Kyle Ward. He's had 75, 80 guys recruited probably in his years as a high school coach in DC. They know, they understand the process. They understand today's day and age of college football. So, as long as, you know, Texas did right by all their players, that's all they care about. They understand there's competition and that sometimes guys are going to get beat out by others. They look, it's no different from their own team. When somebody transfers in to Dallas South Oak Cliff, Kamoran Morgan, a four-star edge, transfers in from Red Oak back to South Oak Cliff where he was as a freshman, he's beating out somebody. I mean, so they're playing the same game the colleges are.
Yep.
All right, guys, we'll take a couple more questions here, and let's start with this one. Botex knows this has actually been asked a couple times in the chat today. Did Jordan Whittington ever have his pro day? Wasn't he supposed to have another opportunity this past 14th, which was
– Yeah, so I think he did it privately. We weren't notified about it. No media was notified, to my knowledge. But he did put out that he ran a 4.42 a verified 442 at an event that was held. But beyond that, I have not heard much hide nor hair of Jordan Whittington in the last 2 weeks. That is all I've heard right now. Wish him nothing but the best. Let's go ahead and reset a little bit, Blake, as we wait for Coach Schaefer to come in and what we went over early in the program. First of all, the portal opened this morning. At 12:01, Texas has already got three players that have moved into the portal. Samaje Burrell, the linebacker, of course, did it last week, subsequent to having a run-in with the law. Then we had Peyton Kirkland, the offensive lineman, as well as Billy Walton, the defensive end edge prospect. He has moved into the portal. We are waiting now to see who else might move in from the Longhorns, as well as who the Longhorns might go after. So that's the portal. Tyrese Hunter and Dylan Mitchell in the basketball team. Two guys that have been two-year starters for the Longhorns are moving on. Of course, Texas on Sunday, Rodney Terry getting three transfers in, two of whom from Indiana State, one from the University of Arkansas. And then the ESPN had a mock draft, top 100 prospects yesterday. We were talking about this. First one off the board, allegedly, will be Byron Murphy at 16. And then also... you had Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell going in the first round as well at 23 and 28, respectively. Jonathan Brooks, first running back off the board. Christian Jones, big mover, top 100 pick, number 96 overall to the Jags. JT Sanders at number 100 to Washington. Those are the final ESPN predictions.
By the way, a couple other things to add to that. I want to say one thing about Peyton Kirkland entering the portal, okay? He started the Florida recruiting for the state for the University of Texas. He was the first guy to commit, close with C.J. Baxter from that Orlando area. So while every guy at Texas, their career on the field may not pan out like they thought or like Texas thought, maybe it's injury, maybe it's other things, Peyton Kirkland was a key recruit for Texas in 23 because he really was a voice for Texas in the state of Florida. Then when Cedric Baxter jumped into that class, look, without that, does Jarrett Gibson happen? I mean, there's some things that fall in place in recruiting, right? And while some guys may not have the career on the field, they would, you know, you would hope or they would hope, that doesn't mean they didn't impact your program before they ever put on the uniform. Peyton Kirkland was one of those guys. He helped Texas get started in the state of Florida in recruiting. Because, look, at the time he committed to Texas, you know, everybody thought he was going to Oklahoma. And I predicted it, but he went to Texas, and that kind of shocked some people. And then Cedric Baxter comes to Texas, and there you go. Tashard Choice. They kind of had that voice in Florida stopped being just a recruiter's voice and became a couple of prospects' voice. So he had an impact for Texas in recruiting, even though he never had an impact on the field. Then recruiting-wise, somebody asked about Jackson Christian and his arm length, 82-inch wingspan. Long-arm kid, broad-shouldered and long-arm kid, very good for inside OL. He actually has offensive tackle length, but I think his upside's going to be as an interior player. And he's on campus right now going through position meetings. Him and his family is back on campus. They were on campus Saturday with his mom for the Texas recruiting event. And they're back this morning going through the team meetings and then going to watch practice one more time.
All right, y'all. Well, it is time to bring in our special guest here. I'm going to bring him in, Coach Vic Schaefer, head coach of the women's basketball program for the Longhorns. And, Coach, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. My apologies for being a little bit late, but I appreciate you all having me on this morning. Everything's great, and excited about the day. It's a great day to be a Longhorn.
We're fired up to have you, Coach. Congratulations on a good season. I think that was at three Elite Eights for you in as a Longhorn. 400-plus career wins, 100 at Texas already. Madison Booker had a phenomenal freshman season. And you did this all in the face of losing what we called early in the season your spark plug, Rory Harmon. Congratulations on a great season. And just, you know, give us your thoughts on what transpired all this year.
Well, obviously, we were really good early. And, you know, with Rory running our team, Booker on the wing, we were, you know, I felt like we were one of the top two or three teams in the country. When Rory goes down on December 27th, obviously that's a devastating injury. Your heart just, you know, there's no class that you take, guys, in college or your master's or some seminar that you go to that gets you ready for something as devastating as that. Rory's a great kid. She has tremendous family. Parents are off the chart. And your heart just... It's 2 years in a row. I lost to Leah Moore last year in the eighth game. And this happened in a shoot around of all things. And so you got basically 4 hours prior to tip for your last non-conference game. And then you got 3 days to get ready for your conference opener with a freshman who was playing small forward, moving over to the point. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of this group. You gotta remember, y'all, in the history and lore of Texas women's basketball, the best season that they've ever had is they've won 34 games, and that was their national championship team.
Yeah.
This group goes from losing, no question at the time, Rory was the best two-way guard in the country. She picked your butt up from one baseline to the other. She pressured you. She created problems defensively. She was averaging almost 8 assists a game, 14 points, and 6 rebounds a game. She just impacted the game on both ends of the floor. And at the time, to me, she was the best guard in the country. And you lose her, and all they do is go win 33 games, win a conference championship, make it to the Elite Eight, win the Sweet 16 game by 20-something points. And so you can't help but just be so proud of them. You're happy for them because all these kids did was put their head down and go to work. Like, they would not let that injury keep them from being successful. And guys, I'm telling you, as a coach, that's all you want, man. You just want kids that will bow their neck and go to work, bring their lunch pail every day, and just get better. And man, we had some really special kids, and we got a lot of them back.
You do, coach, and that's what I was going to say. I was tuned into the WNBA draft last night, and one of my thoughts was, we're going to see you up there. You hope in 3 years, right, with Madison Booker. Talk about Madison Booker a little bit, because what you asked her to do is extremely difficult for a true freshman in college sports, to go from playing on the wing to saying, here's the ball, here's all the people in the stands, go lead the team. That's not easy to do.
Well, and really, even when you're a junior or senior, you know, it's really difficult to be in charge of not only yourself, but everybody else. You know, Rory and I laugh all the time. Her freshman year, as she was evolving, you know, when she'd run something and people aren't in the right place, you know, or somebody's not doing something right, I would go to her because she's the point guard. She's the coach on the floor. And it got to be, as we got later in the year, freshman year, I'd say, Rory, and she'd say, I know, it's my fault. Because that's what comes with being a point guard. You're in charge of everybody. And asking a freshman who's trying to figure out her own position over there, if I could show y'all a play card, you know, of how many things we have that we run on offense, and then you're trying to teach somebody to defend like I want to defend, who's never guarded like that before in their life, it's a lot. And then you're telling them, oh yeah, and by the way, you're not only going to have to learn all this stuff and be the point guard and run the team, you got to know everybody else's position too, because they got to be in the right place. We've got to play with the right pace. You've got to make the right decisions. And it's extremely difficult. What that kid did, she's a first-team All-American. I mean, one of the top 10 players in the country. It's really an incredible feat on her part. Again, great kid, tremendous humility, unbelievable family, mom and dad, grandma, auntie. That kid's been raised right, and she is just a wonderful, wonderful young lady. And that's why she's the player she is. I mean, she soaks it all up, y'all. She doesn't claim to know it all. She knows that I don't like being cool. Winning ain't about playing cool. It's about going out there and playing your heart out, you know, and making somebody miserable for 40 minutes. It's about waking up in the morning and looking for a fight. And that's what my team did. They woke up in the morning, and when their feet hit the ground, somebody was going, oh, crap, they're up. And that group was special, man. They were really special.
Hey, Coach, I love your way of thinking, man. I've got to ask you, because the greater context of women's college basketball right now, with Caitlin Clark, with everything going around, and these huge, just enormous TV ratings, right? What is your thought? Are people just now waking up to college basketball? You've been a lifer for women's college basketball, right? Yep. You've believed in it from, you know, day one. What are your thoughts about all of the notoriety, publicity, and media exposure that women's college basketball is getting right now?
You know, I think we've got some tremendous personalities in the game. I think people are waking up and realizing that, man, those kids can really play. They're really talented. They're really skilled. They're fun to watch. You know, when you come watch the University of Texas play, when the game's over, we don't run to the locker room. We stay out. We hug mamas, kiss babies, take pictures, sign autographs. Like, my kids don't get to the locker room for 45 minutes to an hour. And if that's all it takes to develop a fan base, man, that's easy. And that's what I think people are realizing is that when they bring their son or their daughter to watch the University of Texas women's basketball team, they walk out of the arena that night and they can look at Joe or whoever, little Susie, whoever, and go, hey, I want you to play like Rory Harmon. I want you to play like Shea Holly. I want you to be tough. I want you to develop a mid-range jump shot like Madison Booker. I mean, I just think that it's real easy to identify with our kids. They have tremendous personalities. They're givers. They're going to be great Longhorns one day. But I just think parents, people in general, they really can appreciate kids that play hard and play the right way. And, you know, for me, we've always built our teams on toughness, picking up full court. We ain't standing around in a 2-3 zone playing hope you miss defense, guys. You know, we're picking your butt up at the city limit, and we'll show you the door when we're done with you. That's the mentality, and that's fun to watch. I mean, I don't, you know, how can you not appreciate kids that take charges, that play hard, that have each other's back, that slap hands, that play with emotion and passion? And so I just think there's other teams like that. There's other personalities in our game like that. I just think there's a real appreciation in our country right now because of maybe some of the things that we have going on. When you can turn the TV on and see young people playing a sport the right way, respecting the game, honoring the game, I think that's what's enticing and appealing to people.
Coach, a couple things I have for you. One, I want you to talk about Shea Holly because the star players get a lot of attention, but your glue players are your day-to-day culture players, and they are so impactful in your program and how you build your program. Why don't you talk about Shea Holly? And then the other thing, I'm a big recruiting guy. So yeah. Is Jordan Lee open when she gets inside the Moody, or are you going to say, hold on, calm down now, and talk about that freshman class? Brianna Preston, she can score at all three levels. You can't play under the ball screen on her. You got some shooters and scorers and versatility. Justin Carlton's a really good passer. You got some really good players coming in.
Hey, I appreciate you. You've done your homework. Those kids can play now. First with Shay, all we do is win with Shea Holly. You know, she stars in her role, and she'll do whatever it takes to win. She doesn't care. But I think what you have to appreciate about Shay is she just stays in the picture. You know, you can tell kids all the time when they're not playing as a freshman, you know, and they get disgruntled or they get disheartened. All Shay did was stay in the picture. You know, I had to tell my own son that one time when he was a high school baseball player. He's wanting to play, not getting to play. I'm like, look, buddy, you got to stay in the picture. Stay in the batting cage, take extra ground balls, but you got to stay in the picture. Shea Holly has stayed in the picture. The game is real fair, y'all. You get out of it what you put into it. Shea Holly has poured herself into the game. She's poured herself into our team, into our program, into the University of Texas. And I believe the good Lord blesses her because she's a great kid. She works hard. And again, the game's real fair. And look, we wouldn't be where we are today without Shea Holly. And she is absolutely the glue to my team. She was the glue to my team when Rory was healthy. You know, I called her that way back in the fall. She's just my instant, you know, she's solid. Guys, that's all you can say. She just gets it done. She just wins. I have to think real quick. 2029, 26, and now 33. So do the math. That's how many games that kid's won at Texas. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
49, 26, 75, and 33. That's 108 by my math, or 118. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
So, and then that freshman class, y'all. Woo! I am fired up about those three now. Brianna Preston, she is Rory Harmon as far as quickness and speed, pushing the ball, delivery, making the right decision at the right time. She just really sees the floor well, is great in the open floor. She's going to be able to guard with pressure like I like, which will give us another defender, which is we desperately have needed, especially losing Rory. It really changed us defensively.
He back out there a little bit. He may have gone. What a great guest. I do want to say this. So computer may have backed out, but look, what a tremendous guest. Big Hulk had this, 24. Love Coach Vic. How can I sign up my daughter for the camp? I'm going to check that out, and we'll post on here exactly how we can do it. Do we have him back now?
We're bringing him back again.
I was finishing up with Preston. Like, she is electric.
Yeah.
Jordan Lee, she's right now playing with USA Basketball. She also has some Canadian heritage, and the Canadians want her too. And so I don't know what's going to happen, what country she's going to play for, but she's going to be a monster for one of them. But just a big old guard, that confidence just oozing out everywhere. She's just a really confident kid, great kid, competitor. Dad was a coach. He and I have actually known of each other for, oh Lord, back in my days at Sam Houston State, that's like another lifetime ago. But just an unbelievable competitive kid, super smart, like really smart. Will take charges already. I will not have to teach that kid how to get in help defense. She just has an incredible IQ. All three of these kids do. And then Justice, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all, Justice Carlton may be the most physical high school kid I've ever seen. She hunts contact. She reminds me of a linebacker that's hunting. Okay, who's trying to block me? Because I'm going to knock them on their butt before I go get that running back. She just hunts contact. You know, when she drives it, when she puts it on the floor, if somebody's trying to guard, like, she's not dodging it. She's going in there trying to separate your breastplate. Like, she is as physical as any kid I've ever seen. And so that's really exciting for me, because I'm a big, I want tough, physical, aggressive kids. All three of these kids fit that mold. Like, these are my kind of players, y'all. And I'm excited about them. You know, they're going to come in and they're going to play right away. They're going to join a team that's really good, but they're going to bring some much needed depth. I think it's an exciting time. As you can tell, I get pretty fired up talking about them. So it's an exciting time for me. Again, they're my kind of kids, man. And great families.
Coach, you've got it rolling on the 40 acres. There's no doubt about it. And good times ahead for the Longhorns. Congratulations on an outstanding season. We've had a number of comments come in, and I mean, just everything, love Coach Vic, you know, et cetera. I want to give you a chance to kind of promote something for yourself other than season tickets and everything you normally do. But a lot of people love what you're saying, and they want their daughters to sign up for your camp. How would they even find out to sign up for y'all's basketball camps? I know y'all do those during the summer months. Give folks a little intel on that in case they have a young daughter they want to send your way.
Yeah, so camps are a little bit problematic right now at Texas, and so we're in the process of trying to make it work. It'll be on our website when they can sign up. very well could be we're only going to have day camps, which is great. Just hang in there with us. We're fighting some battles, you know, across the street. And so,
With the Irwin Center going down and the Moody Center being, you know, you lost
the pride.
Yeah.
So our facility is, you know, our practice facility is, when you talk about camps, it's very limited. And so then you're, you know, quite honestly, you fight cheerleading camp that's at Texas all summer. And so it's a little problematic. We love doing camp. I've done them my whole life. And we get a lot of these questions, a lot of people calling in about camp. So we are trying to figure that out. And I appreciate you bringing that up. But it'll be on our website just as soon as we can get something figured out. But again, appreciate that.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you representing the University of Texas. And I think I speak for just about everybody on here right now that feels the same way. You've just done a terrific job. And the young ladies represent the university so, so well. And I like how you said they get on your butt 44, you know, from one baseline to the other. That's kind of the idea behind it.
Nolan used to call it 94 feet of hell. And I kind of like that. And, you know, we kind of bring that to the women's game. I don't mind saying that. I'm proud of that. Nolan was really good at it. You know, I worked at Arkansas for 6 years with him, and you know, that's kind of what we try to create. We were a little limited this past year because of our depth issue, but man, I'm super excited about this team coming up. I think we're going to have some really good depth, and we're going to have some kids that can really play the way I want to play. So, guys, I just appreciate the opportunity. You all are special. You mean so much to our university, to all of our programs, and it's a real honor to be on today. And I apologize for being late, but really appreciate your time.
We appreciate it, Coach.
Hey, by the way, next time you're on, people want to talk fishing with you, the Texas fans in the chat. I know we don't have time today, but just so you get ready next time, people are going to have fishing questions for you.
I caught my limit of trout and redfish on Saturday morning. So I can do that, and we can talk a little turkey hunting too if you want to.
Coach Schaefer, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, man. Praise the Lord and hook 'em horns.
Thanks, Coach.
Good stuff. What a good guy, man. What a good guy to represent the University of Texas, right? I like how he talks about what he wants out of his players and why people are attracted to watching his team play right now. I mean, he's right. You know, when I turn on the TV, I want to be entertained, but I want to be entertained the right way. You know what I mean by that? And that's obviously something that he does and his teams do on a really, really high level. So
we call it, we coined the phrase recruit through the whistle here on Texas Football, right? But fans appreciate playing through the whistle. They appreciate the extra effort, right? And that makes Coach Schaefer's team so appealing to even a casual fan when they tune in, their University of Texas graduates, or even if they're not, they're saying, you know what? That team plays really hard. And I can get with a team that plays really hard. And you see how each possession, how much effort they put in to those possessions. That means those kids play as hard as they can for a coach. And if you're a Chris Del Conte or you're the brass at the University of Texas, that's all you can ask. I mean, you know, Coach Schaefer's going to have a success. He's going to get Texas to their first Final Four since 2003. It's going to happen, right? He may win the first national championship since 86. There's a lot of competition, but he's going to have the chance to do that. But it's the effort. When you tune in, if you're Chris Del Conte, you're the UT brass, or you're a Texas fan, you appreciate how hard his teams play for him.
All right, guys, we've had a lot of people join, especially during that interview. Everybody wanted to check out what Coach Schaefer had to say there. So let's recap what we talked about this morning. Obviously, Texas is back on the practice field today. Sark going to meet with the media at 11, spring game on Saturday. Where do we need to go from there, Bobby? I'll let you take it over.
Well, three transfers so far in the portal for Texas. Samaje Burrell, of course, last week. Peyton Kirkman, offensive lineman. As well as Billy Walton, edge prospect, entered the portal yesterday, or said they were going to enter the portal. In basketball, Dylan Mitchell, and Tyrese Hunter both entered the portal. And then also ESPN had a mock draft last night. Six different Longhorns in the top. Six different Longhorns going in the top 100, including Christian Jones, which is a little bit of a surprise, all the way up in the third round. They had him going 96 overall, which would just be amazing. The negative on that, as Jerry mentioned earlier in the show, Tavondre Sweat, not one of those six players in the top 100 projected by the folks at ESPN. So Tavondre potentially paying the price for some issues off the field.
Okay, Jerry Hamilton, it is your time to shine here. I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Manscaped.
Look, Texas Tech fans, this ain't your time, baby. You went to Austin and got 57-7. Here it is. You got Manscaped in Austin last year. Look, this episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and those drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that nasty winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers and azaleas you saw at the Masters last weekend. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide, plus about 100,000 more, to trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to those nether regions either, guys. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code on Texas, all caps, at manscaped.com. Texas Tech fans, you got it in Austin, 57-7.
Jerry, I tell you what, dude, you're worth the price of admission, which is free.
You're one of a kind in a full house, Jerry. We got some questions that we need to get to, fellas. We got a lot of them here. And let's start with Black Wind. He says, any thoughts on Ryan Niblett? Haven't heard about him for a while.
You know, that's the question. I think it's a fair one. He came in behind both Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore from a development perspective because he had played all around. I'm not sure he's made up that gap at this point. Ryan, however, has shown spurts. He's going to be used in the return game, or has been used in the return game a little bit. Certainly has the speed, but DeAndre Moore right now is ahead of him, and he's in the same class. Moore, actually one of three starting receivers on Saturday during the scrimmage alongside Jonte Cook and Isaiah Bond. So, you know, we'll see exactly what occurs with Ryan Niblett going forward. But, you know, I want to see him in the spring game and see what he can bring to the table.
Speaking of Moore, let's talk about the other Moore, Trey Moore. As J.D. Harper says, would you rather have Billy Walton or Trey Moore? I typically prefer recruits over transfers. I think Walton could end up with a higher ceiling than Moore, right? And I heard Moore struggled against top competition.
I disagree. So first of all, you don't have to have either. It doesn't always have to be either or. It can be both. I think that the problem that Billy Walton ran into is Colin Simmons. You can look at it and say, okay, I'm going to be patient for the guy that's a year ahead of me. But if the guy that's a year behind me has passed me, then where's my place? I'm sandwiched, right?
Yeah.
And then who are they going to bring in this year? And who might the next portal guy be? That's his problem. And so even though Billy Walton is good enough to play for Texas, and I think he would have seen time this year, I think it was the sandwiching of Billy Walton, not just the Trey Moore situation. As far as Trey Moore struggling against top comp, a lot of people do. That's kind of the nature of the business. The better the player, the greater the competition, the greater the struggle. That being said, he's proven very, very productive thus far in camp against an offensive line that's pretty talented for Texas.
I would also say this about Trey Morris. If people say struggle, that's kind of relative. When you're the guy at UTSA and you go on the road and play at a Tennessee, who are they going to game plan for? I mean, so you're now in a situation where you have Baron Sorrell and Ethan Burke lined up opposite from you. Or maybe all three, you're on the field at the same time in some instances, right? You have better players around you. It's going to be harder for teams to game plan against you. So I look for Trey Moore to have some very favorable matchups this year. And when you're in one of those mid-majors, you're the targeted guy when a team plays against you. So, yeah, you're going to draw everything and everybody, because those teams know if they can't slow you down, then one, in that league, they're going to beat you. UTSA, Jeff Traylor is a tremendous coach. And then you can't let Trey Moore get after you in Knoxville against Tennessee. That can change the game for you. So that's the big difference now. There's a reason Ohio State and Alabama and Texas wanted Trey Moore.
Hey, I got to take this question from Football Texas. I may have missed it, but what is our current roster count with the transfers leaving? I also have a little bit of a news piece to mention here. Number one, Texas was at 89. Now with three transfers, they're at 86. There's going to be a net here because Texas does want to attract some players. They want to be acquisitive in the portal as well. So there's still going to be more to go. But long story short, we're at 86 currently as of this moment. Where that goes from here, we don't know. I was told last night that Bert Auburn is not expected to be scholarship, that his NIL exceeds his scholarship total. Happy for him. He deserves it. Not only has he been a very good player for the university, but that hair, I think, makes him one of the more recognizable.
Pert Auburn.
Yes, Pert. Yeah, P-E-R-T. That is not his NIL, though, by the way. No. Hargrove Roofing, our friends over there, one of his NIL groups. So that's good stuff. But my point being, they're at 86 right now. We will see the rest of this week. I think we'll see maybe one or two more jump in before the spring game for Longhorns. And then, as Jerry mentioned, I think the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday after the spring game for Texas may be more telling. The real question I have is, what about the incoming guys, right? And I'm waiting to see what happens there, because I think Texas needs to get a big-time defensive tackle.
I think it's going to be 3 to 4 guys coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, be good.
Well, we are going to go back to Moore for a second. We talked about Trey Moore. We talked about DeAndre Moore. Now the Corey Moore.
Oh, okay. Says, what I was about thinking, who's the third Moore on the football team? I wasn't even thinking recruiting. Okay. DeCorian Moore. Look, it's a Texas LSU battle. I have percentages slightly higher for Texas long term than LSU, and I'm sticking by that. I think it'll take a while to play out. I don't think anything is imminent in that recruitment. I think the June official visits will happen. I think he'll go see Ohio State. I think he'll go see Oregon. But I think at the end of the day, he'll play in the SEC, and it'll come down to Texas versus LSU. He has the regional track meet Saturday in Waco. Obviously, weather could be an issue there. And while DeCorian won't be at the spring game, multiple family members will be. But DeCorian Moore, he was on campus, obviously, April 6th weekend. A multiple day visit there, has a lot of family in Austin. Obviously, we talk about all the time, his mom went to what was Lanier High School, a lot of family in that Austin area. It's going to come down to Texas and LSU. And, you know, look, anything can happen in recruiting. We're a long way away from a final decision, which will be before his senior season. That's still what, half of April, May, June. I mean, we're still 2.5-3 months away from a final decision. So that's a long way away in recruiting, but I like Texas chances. I'll say that. We'll see what happens.
Well, guys, obviously there's a lot going on with the recruiting, a lot going on with the portal opened, as Bobby said earlier, 12:01 this morning. So to stay on top of that, be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com. That way you don't miss anything going on. And Jerry, tell folks out there why they should become an OTF OG.
Look, on Texas Football here on the YouTube and .com, I think we're creating such a cool club and community. And I just encourage everybody to be part of OnTexasFootball.com. Be an OTFOG. That's $39.95 for a year annual subscription, $20 off. But CJ, myself, Bobby, Blake, everybody's over there talking Texas sports all day, answering questions. We're bringing intel there as well as here. But we love the club that's building and the community that's building. And we want everybody to be a part of that and come be a part of that with us.
Use that code OTFOG and apply it, and you will get $20 off your subscription. So we appreciate you guys.
Okay, guys. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. We want to thank them along with Factor and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. We also got to give a big shout out to Coach Vic Schaefer for coming on and talking in depth with this awesome interview. Great stuff there. As Jerry just said, become an OTFOG, head on over to On Texas Football. If you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button, ring the bell so you're notified anytime we go live or post a video. And that way you don't miss a bit of news as it's ramping up for both the team and recruiting and the portal and everything else. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe.
I want to say, Lee, close with this, Blake. We went over 42,100 subscribers. I want to say thank you to everybody because we can't do that without you guys also telling people about us. So thank you very much for what you guys do. Again, that's part of that club and that community. Thank you guys so much for that as we continue to grow to 50,000 and one day 100,000. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Good welcome, stuff, guys. Wait, Jackson Christian on campus. We didn't mention that to close out either. That's the offensive lineman from Port Neches Groves. He is on campus as well, Jerry reported.
There you go. And so for more updates, another reason to head on over to OnTexasFootball.com. So we will be back same time, same place tomorrow morning, and we'll see you then.
Welcome.
Blake, we have